You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. 28 days to Election Day. We have a bunch of great guests coming up, including our friend and colleague Earl Ingram Jr. going to join us at 10:33. President Biden going to be in Milwaukee today.
Yes.
And talking about lead pipe replacement, which has been an issue plaguing Milwaukee for a very long time. So Earl Ingram joining us at 10:33, 11:06. Really looking forward to this. Another colleague of ours, Jim Santel, who hosts Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings here on Civic Media. We're going to talk about the latest filing from Jack Smith and all of the details that we learned about the January 6th planners and how long this had been in the works.
Yeah,
this wasn't a spontaneous homegrown. This was planned.
I remember seeing something on television about the fact that people had pre-made hoodies like January 6th and stuff on there. It's like this was...
Oh, yeah. This was a well-coordinated...
I mean, if we could get him on the phone, Calvin, could you get Derek Van Norton on the phone? He was there. He could be able to tell us if this was a pre-planned party.
Speaking of Derek Van Norton, we're going to get to him in just a little bit.
It's called a segue, baby.
Nice. Nicely done. But we're going to start off with lake-sitting, axe-throwing California guy Eric Hovde has thoughts. I should say lies.
I was going to say, just stop right there.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, article from Hope Carnop. Headline reads, Senate candidate Eric Hovde circulates false Hurricane Helene claims debunked by FEMA. Hovde said on Twitter, quote, FEMA is out of money and doesn't have money to transfer to those people affected by the hurricane. They use the money to assist illegal immigrants, unquote. That is a lie.
It's been a lie for a while, too.
And it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, of course, Donald Trump, the former president, has declared that the federal government is doing nothing. The head of FEMA says the misinformation spread by the former president and others are ridiculous and just plain false. But, you know, that doesn't stop California guy from just spewing lies.
Well, they've squeezed all the juice they can get out of Springfield, Ohio. That they need to blame migrants and illegal, quote unquote, illegal immigrants.
Right.
We need a fresh story. So let's blame a hurricane.
We have a clip. We have several clips actually from Representative Jeff Jackson, who is a Democrat from North Carolina.
Yes.
Still dealing, of course, with the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Calvin, let's play clip number one from Representative Jackson, please.
Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you what is actually happening in Western North Carolina, because there's a lot of stuff flying around. I'm a major in the National Guard, just met with our top general, the head of FEMA, our governor, and the vice president. I asked the FEMA director how this disaster is different from others she's worked on, and she said it's about how wide the path of destruction is. 90% of the folks who lost power now have it back, but that last 10% will be a major challenge. Dozens of water facilities are still offline. The Army Corps of Engineers is working on that. Sometimes it means rebuilding. Sometimes it just means bringing in a generator to make sure they have power.
For that 10% who don't have power, and the reason it's going to be so complicated to get them all back online is because of the topography.
Yes.
And it's in the mountains.
Yes.
And in many of these areas, there is one road in and one road out. And you know how they build roadways in the mountains from what I've been reading?
How?
They build them along the rivers.
Yeah.
So if the river floods, it washes out the roads, which makes them impassable. We have another clip from Representative Jeff Jackson, who was a Democrat, but he is from North Carolina. Calvin, let's hear that clip, please.
The North Carolina National Guard is loading up their C-17s and flying them out there. We also have Black Hawk helicopters, but we don't have Chinooks. Those are the cargo helicopters. So the 82nd Airborne has brought in some of theirs, and the Connecticut National Guard has brought down some of theirs, and that has been incredibly useful. We now have the National Guard from 10 different states helping us out, in addition to the 82nd Airborne, the 18th Airborne Corps, and the 101st Airborne. That means we have thousands of soldiers on the ground, 700 folks from FEMA, another 2,000 federal workers from different departments, dozens of nonprofits, Red Cross, Salvation Army, Samaritan's Purse, they're all there.
But no one's getting through, and the government's not responding. If you listen to Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
However, Governor Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, speaking to the press, has already said, quote, everything we have asked for from President Biden for disaster relief, he has approved, unquote. We've heard from the governor of North Carolina, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp.
Mm-hmm.
All of the governors in states affected by Hurricane Helene have already come out and say, we are working with the Biden administration. The Biden administration reached out before this storm, before Helene even landed. Which is what a responsible government does.
Are you telling me that Joe Biden wasn't sitting there going, hey, does North Carolina vote for me? Does Georgia vote for me? Does Florida vote for me? Give me some numbers and I'll decide whether or not I want to give them aid. Because that's what Donald Trump did.
Yes. We have people who worked in his administration, Olivia Troy among them, who was in Vice President Pence's administration, has come forward and said, yes, Donald Trump, when they had the wildfires in California, Donald Trump didn't want to give them disaster aid because of all the Democrats that live there and they didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
So they actually had to pull up voter data from Orange County to show Donald Trump that there were as many people who voted Republican in that area of California as voted for him in Iowa, and then he approved the aid.
Do yourself a favor, folks. Go to your Google machine computer and type in how Republican is Orange County.
Oh, yeah.
It's real Republican.
It's real rep. But again, he wasn't going to give California disaster aid because they don't vote for me.
Yeah.
We heard that during COVID when he had one particular press conference, and I didn't have time to find the clip, where he was talking about governors calling him for aid because they couldn't get protective gear,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things. And he essentially said, well, if they're not nice to me, I'm not going to get back to them right away. Is this what we want going forward, my friends?
Is this the
Does that make you feel better?
That's the guy you want to vote for, huh? That's the guy who makes you sleep well at night. The guy who can make America great again.
Just only parts that support him.
Yeah.
Though. Only the people that like him and compliment him
make
and flatter him.
Okay, so we'll redo it. Make certain parts of America great again. Asterisk, as long as they were nice to me.
Exactly. We are talking about California guy Eric Hovde, who, of course, is running against Tammy Baldwin. They are going to debate next Friday,
mm-hmm.
and Civic Media will be covering that. But Eric Hovde, of course, jumping on the Republican bandwagon saying, FEMA's a mess. There's no FEMA money. They gave it all to immigrants. So, yeah, good luck. And that's not true. That is a lie. The head of FEMA is concerned that people aren't going to apply for assistance because they're hearing garbage like this.
Yeah. And also, folks, you may hear him say stuff like this and think, well, Tammy Baldwin's got this. She's Tammy Baldwin. She's beat all the people. The polling that we are seeing coming through, which I hate saying because I really don't like polling.
I agree.
It's not... She doesn't have a 10-point lead. She doesn't have a 12-point lead. It's tightening up in these last few weeks. So talk to people. Make plans to vote. Tell them that this is not in the bag. Tell them that Eric Hovde is out here. And I'm not going to lie. I miss Eric Hovde from like 3-4 months ago where it was just him trying to be like, I'm a Wisconsin guy. I love the Packers and the Badgers.
Yeah.
Now he's just turning into this poisonous person who's doing anything he can to win because he knows the only way he can win is by becoming this awful mega version of Eric Hovde, which I'll bet you any amount of money, regular Eric Hovde from a year ago was probably like, had very little opinion on the matter, let alone was going to say something like this.
But as you say, you got I'm going to do what it takes to win. Yep. Doesn't matter. Integrity, meh.
Nah.
Meh, who cares? 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack joining us. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've been reading a bit of information from a German-American historian by the name of Hannah Arendt, who studied the Nazis and their disinformation campaigns to get into rule. And here's a couple of quotes that might be worth listening to. The constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure that no one believes anything anymore.
Yep.
The ideal subject of totalitarian rule is not the convinced Nazi nor dedicated communist, but people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, true and false, no longer exists. And of course, if you can't tell truth from fiction, how can you tell whom to vote for?
Oh, exactly, Jack. This is very, this is a very calculated approach. And you're right. It's a playbook from Joseph Goebbels. It is.
Well, and also, too, like we were talking about this a week or two ago. Look up Roy Cohn, lawyer Roy Cohn's three rules. And this was a man who, I can't believe I'm about to say it, mentored Donald Trump. And you'll see why Donald Trump is the way he is. It's do not give up. Do not give in.
Always double down.
Attack, attack, attack.
Yes.
And never admit you're wrong.
We have one more clip from Representative Jeff Jackson. I don't think we're going to have time for it. We will do it on the other side. And then we're going to talk about Derek Van Bully. I mean, Derek Van Orden. And something I heard on Pat Kreitlow's show this morning when I was driving in. You can always join us, call or text, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James Sands.
Morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. 855-752-4842 is the number if you would like to call or text. And you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our colleague and friend Earl Ingram Jr. going to be joining us at 10:33. President Biden stopping in Milwaukee today to talk about lead pipe replacement, which is a big issue. So Earl's going to join us at 10:33. We have Jim Santel, the host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays here across Civic Media. And we're going to talk about the latest from Jack Smith and what this revealed about the many, many people involved in the attack on our elections and on January 6th at the Capitol. It's very, very frightening.
Yeah,
it is. It's frightening. Right now that we're talking about California guy Eric Hovde and Tony Weed, you just mentioned, who is running as a Republican in northern Wisconsin.
In the third.
And also jumping now.
Oh, wait. No, the eighth.
Now, so all jumping on the bandwagon saying the FEMA's out of money because they gave it all to illegal immigrants. That is a lie. That is a blatant lie. We have another clip that I think wraps it up pretty nicely. This is Representative Jeff Jackson of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He is a Democrat, but he's there. Take a listen to this. Clip 3, please, Calvin.
And let's address some specific rumors. No one's land is being taken by FEMA. FEMA doesn't even have the authority to do that. There's no blockade on private aid. There is an enormous amount of private aid rolling in. The only people being turned away are the ones headed down a road that's been destroyed, and a checkpoint is telling them, don't go that way, the road has been destroyed.
Mm.
If you want to bring in a private plane full of supplies, you can do that. The only issue is there's now triple the normal amount of air traffic because of all the planes bringing in supplies, and there have been a bunch of near misses in the air.
Not good.
So they're just asking folks, get in touch with the Emergency Operations Center, let them know you're coming, and the FAA will clear you to land. And contrary to what one of my coworkers in Congress suggested...
Which one?
The government did not create the hurricane. I feel like I shouldn't have to say that,
yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah. No, the government didn't create the hurricane, Helene. The government didn't create Hurricane Milton, which is now barreling towards the western coast of Florida yet again. The Tampa area is being evacuated. A lot of those, areas along where they expected to make landfall are going to be evacuated if people can, because they're talking about storm surge now of 15 feet high.
Yeah. And we had during Earl's show, Lynn from Oconomowoc texted and I wanted to address this. She said her son listens to Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan apparently is pushing the notion that they are using cannon technology, you know, from the Civil War to create cloud manipulations that are moving the storms a certain direction. No, they're not. That shouldn't be a thing. That isn't a thing.
Well, and if the government had the ability to do this, and it's all a Democratic deep state, then when California was burning, why didn't they just create rainstorms?
Yes.
To put out the fires?
Yes.
That would have been so convenient and apparently easy.
Yes.
They could have done that in Hawaii when they had those terrible wildfires.
Utilize Jewish space laser technology.
Or in a good way.
I guess, yeah. So to me personally, whether it's Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, Derek Van Orten, Eric Hovde, Tony Weed.
Yeah.
When you're saying junk like this, it's because you have nothing else to talk about. You don't have solutions for the problems that you believe the American people are going through. Yeah, it's hard right now for certain Americans. Prices are high. It's difficult to pay for groceries. But you're sitting here talking about cloud manipulation, a conspiracy between FEMA and migrants to bring them into this country. Those aren't solutions. That is stupidity.
And distraction.
It's distraction because you have nothing to talk about.
Speaking of Derek Van Orten.
He's back? Yay!
He's back in the news. Derek Van Orten and Senator Ron Johnson both voted against more aid for FEMA. I think it's important that we recognize that.
They also voted to shut the government down.
They did.
Yeah.
They did just days before the hurricane. Yes, just days. When I was driving in this morning and I was listening to Pat Kreitlow's show Up North News Radio, which is wonderful from 6 to 8. You should catch it if you can. He had Mark Pocan on this morning. We have yet to see this tape of Derek Van Orten yelling at the Senate pages who were taking pictures, which is a tradition that they always do.
Yep.
And I really want to see the tape now because apparently after Derek Van Orten screamed at these kids and got them out of there, he turned to his friends that he had been drinking with in his office and took a bow.
That's a bully.
This guy is running for re-election. Rebecca Cook on Twitter. If you don't show up for work, usually you get fired. Derek Van Orten was a no-show for a forum tonight. This was last night with the Wisconsin Medical Society. Chippewa Valley recently lost two hospitals and multiple clinics. DVO doesn't care. We deserve better. This is the same Derek who refused to do debates in 2022. We should not be scared of answering questions. Let's have debates. Let's do them on issues that matter. Of course, DVO doesn't want to debate. That big, tough, manly man of a man doesn't want a debate.
But now he's putting out the information. She doesn't want debates. And they're calling her names and all this. He's just a coward. Derek Van Orten, if you're listening to this right now, I hope you are. You are a traitorous coward.
He's a very big, strong, manly man, Greg.
Whatever.
And wouldn't take kindly
but,
to
but
that.
But apparently melts in the rain because he can't even wipe down his motorcycle or ride in the rain. He has to send an intern out there to wipe it down because, oh, the rain makes my leather so sticky.
Well, that's why you have underlings. That's yes. why you have minions.
Yeah, exactly.
To do your chores.
And also, he doesn't care about farmers.
No, he really doesn't. All right. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll be joined by Earl Ingram Jr. I hope you can stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. President Biden is in Milwaukee today. He's going to highlight portions of his bipartisan infrastructure law with particular focus on lead lines in the city of Milwaukee. Civic Media News and political teams, of course, will be following President Biden, while he is here. We'll have updates for you throughout the day, and you can also hear this speech on the Todd Alba Show around 12:30 p.m. today. Of course, that varies a little bit. We'll see how much they run on time. But we will have all the coverage for you as President Biden visits Milwaukee today. Very glad to have our friend and colleague join us, and stick around for an extra half hour, hour or so. Earl Ingram Jr. is in studio with us, and we wanted to start, Earl, just by talking about President Biden's visit and this focus on lead lines. So the efforts to replace these lead lines in the city will be funded by $2.6 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law. And the goal is to replace these lead pipes that connect water mains in the streets to properties. They hope to replace these service lines all by 2037. So let's talk, first of all, because you've been around a long time, and you know this community, in particular the Black community, and the detrimental effects lead has had. First, I just want to say this was what they used back in the day, lead lines, these pipes.
So, first off, thank you very much for you and Greg for inviting me on. And I can't tell you of a topic that is more near and dear to my heart than this one. And this goes back in Milwaukee to 2018, when then Robert Miranda and other activists started pushing against the city of Milwaukee, and they were talking about the lead in the pipes and the impact it was having on all these poor children.
Yep.
Who couldn't read, who had behavioral issues. The city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools has somewhere around 40% of this population that is considered special ed. And so the conversation was always that the disabilities that these children were facing was because of the inherent dangers of lead.
Yep.
Which everybody knew was detrimental to the development of the brain and to children. And you are right, lead was what was used. And long before people knew anything at all.
Yep.
About
it's like asbestos.
Right. Right. It was certainly something that was not done intentionally. but that's what they used. And once it was found out, the impact of what it was doing to children, and Robert Miranda and others who pushed the envelope and tried to force our city itself to take these lead pipes out of, at that point in time, almost 45% of the homes in the city of Milwaukee had lead. But let's be clear, this is not just an urban reality. This is something that rurally, the same thing. The pipes that are used to bring the water into their homes were all lead.
That's
pipes.
That's what they used at that time.
That's what they used.
Yeah, that was the standard. And I think too, and I think you bring up a good point, Earl. Like so many issues in this country, when it comes with a massive price tag and it's complicated and difficult, it's like, well, we'll let the next guy deal with this, right?
Right.
We're just going to push. It's like making the affordable health care. It's like so many. It's like the border issues. These things have been around for decades. These issues have been around for decades and decades and decades. And there has just been this reluctance to take on these issues because it's hard and expensive.
I will say that, what did you say, $2.6 billion is what they're talking about?
$2.6 billion.
So we don't hesitate if we're talking about $20 billion for the latest jet or ballistic rocket.
Right.
Right? We don't give it a second thought.
Right.
But $2.6 billion to fix what is an egregious situation, not because it happened, but because once they found out about it, they chose not to fix it. Until Joe Biden, and he deserves all the credit in the world for doing this.
And it was a reminder, folks, this was bipartisan, which means people on both sides of the aisle agreed to this spending of this money. We can agree on things.
We do agree on things.
We do agree on things.
Yeah.
We can get things done. But as you said to Earl, it's this reluctance to, you know, the city of Milwaukee's been dealing with money issues for a long time. And I can understand why. Who wants to come back to their taxpayers and say, surprise, we're going to up your property taxes more now. So again, this probably wouldn't have happened without the Biden administration putting together this bipartisan infrastructure plan.
There's no question, Jane, that, well, the city of Milwaukee and the mayor, then Tom Barrett, they put together a plan. They devised a plan in 2019 that said, okay, we admit that this is a problem. Excuse me. We can get 100 of these lead pipes removed a year. Well, there were so many of them that they projected it would take 77 years.
Oh boy,
to remove them. Mm. So that's what they were. That was the plan. That's what they had people had accepted until Joe Biden and this plan, infrastructure bill that he was able to devise. And as you stated, Jane, get passed through both sides of Congress. And because they all know that the same issues impact rural America. It's not just something that's in the city. It's rural children and people who live in rural areas who are being poisoned by lead every day.
We all need clean water. We all need clean air. Again, these are all things that we all agree on, and we finally got some action on them instead of kicking the can down the road yet again. I'm looking at the article I found in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the president's visit today. In 2021, the city of Milwaukee allocated $26 million in pandemic aid for lead paint abatement, and that's another separate issue,
right,
is the whole lead paint issue. Mm. And that, too, is with peeling paint, kids potentially eating these chips or ingesting these chips of lead, which has very significant health ramifications.
So when you talk about what transpired with the leaded paint, that was an issue that going back to the 1960s, they had realized that the people who were making paint, the lead was in the paint, and it was a problem that children were eating those chips, and they could tie the disabilities that children were faced with to the lead chips. And so the federal government pushed back on all these paint manufacturers, won a case in court, forced those paint manufacturers to take the lead out of the paint, and then they had to pay X amount of dollars to help eradicate the paint. So where the real problem and pushback came with Robert Miranda and Flack is that the city was saying, we admit that there's problems with lead paint. They weren't willing to say there's problems with lead in the water. And it became a tug of war and a major battle that Robert Miranda and Flack and attorneys, and really to her credit, then State Senator Lena Taylor, championed. And they took this battle nationally. And so, by the way, it just so happens tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, I'll have Robert Miranda in the studio my show. And he will be able to, we'll be able to unravel all of this because it really is heart-wrenching when you find out that children's lives have been impacted and affected from birth, and they can't overcome this.
Through no fault of their
own. Through no fault of their own.
Too. If you're just joining us, Earl Ingram Jr. is our guest. He's, of course, our friend and colleague. You can catch him across the state on our Civic Media Radio Network from 8 to 10 a.m. every weekday morning. We're talking about President Biden's visit today to Milwaukee to talk about replacing lead lines in the city of Milwaukee with federal funding. They are aiming for 2037 to have this done, down from 77 years. So that's a step in the right direction. I'm wondering, Earl, within the Black community, does this make any difference for folks as far as making plans to vote?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm kind of torn because I do see tremendous ground game transpiring in the city of Milwaukee in the Black community. And the last time I saw it was when Barack Obama ran. Mm. And to the credit of the National Democratic Party, you can't have a ground game unless there's money invested.
For sure.
And so one of the reasons that Hillary Clinton, I believe this and many others do as well, did not win was because she didn't get the Black turnout. And she didn't visit Milwaukee. And she didn't spend resources in organizing. To the credit of the National Democratic Party and Joe Biden, they haven't made that mistake again. So they're on the ground. They're doing everything. People are scurrying around. They're waking people up. They're trying to motivate people. But I would also say to you guys, it's harder to get people who are struggling to survive day by day. This is the reality that some people are faced with.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Whether or not they have a roof over their heads, they're scuffling for food. And, you know, in some areas, you know, there's crime. And so it's hard to convince people that, hey, if you vote for somebody, they're going to change that. But I always say to them, one thing we know for certain, if you don't vote, the other side's certainly not going to offer you any hope.
Yeah.
Or any of those things. And if you choose not to vote, for sure your situation is not going to change.
And in this particular instance, I would say that if you don't vote or you vote for a third party candidate, you are voting for Trump.
No question.
And I, you know, that's the thing. There isn't a group that will benefit any sort of social justice, any sort of social movement group. None of them will benefit. The only ones who will benefit are the super rich, period.
Under a second Trump term.
Yes, exactly, because that's who he's going to be looking out for, and his buddies in Congress, who he might not even have to, I mean, who knows? As we said before, the goalposts change all the time, and Lindsey Graham is even starting to say that he's not mentally there, so who knows what will happen. But if you think that it comes out like, oh, the candidates, they're the same. They are not the same in any way, shape, or form, other than they are both politicians, And if you care about a movement or a topic, you are going to get much more engagement, much more interest from one side. That's my opinion, Kamala Harris, than Donald Trump, period.
You know what my fear is? My fear is that in the black community, the Democratic Party and my parents' generation and the generation before them, Democratic Party always knew they could count on the black vote. Because those generations were closer to the civil rights struggle.
Yes.
They knew it was the Democratic Party that fought that fight. And so the generations of today don't have that.
Yeah.
My fear is that they don't know that. They don't have that same inkling.
And that same history.
Right.
We're going to continue our conversation with Earl Ingram Jr. I hope you will stay with us. We're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. You can call and text directly from the Civic Media app, which is free, newly upgraded. You should do that. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. President Biden visiting Milwaukee today, talking about the bipartisan infrastructure law, which is focusing particularly in the city of Milwaukee on replacing lead pipes. And our guest is Earl Ingram Jr., famous for the Earl Ingram Jr. Show, from 8 to 10 a.m. on Civic Media.
Appropriately titled,
absolutely. Before we went to break, we were talking to Earl about how it is difficult to encourage some folks to even cast a vote because you feel like it doesn't matter. And I don't know if it was you or Maggie who I've heard say this before, Earl, but being poor takes a lot of work.
So it was probably Maggie as well as myself. We live in the wealthiest nation on earth. And if you look at the homelessness that exists all over our nation, and you look in rural America, and you see a lot of people who are struggling because the world has changed around them. And so, you know, industry and all those kind of things that made it possible for people who weren't educated. Our nation used to have that opportunities for people to live middle class.
Well, and what I always find so interesting is Donald Trump talks about, you know, going back to the good old days and we're going to make America great again when things were fantastic and wonderful. Well, you know, what was different in the 1950s and the 1960s was unions were very strong in this country, and unions provided a lot of Americans a way out and up.
You're talking about my life,
right?
You're talking about my life. And I can tell you that, you know, back when I was a young boy, of 18 years old and graduating from high school in 1972 and walking into a union job that provided, middle-class lifestyle for myself and my family for 34 years.
Yeah. And you raised four sons.
Never had to worry. Was able to buy a home, able to live the American dream. I wasn't alone. 37% of Americans were in unions, private unions. Today, that figure is 7%. So it's the reason that so many people are struggling in this society. Now, public unions are altogether different story. Police and fire, and you see they live.
That's a different issue. Yeah.
And governmental people.
Yeah.
They live strong middle. They still have unions.
Yeah. And again, I don't there is this disconnect with what they claim was, you know, when things were so good. Well, here is what is different now. And that's why things are not the same now. And it's also been the trickle up of money to the ultra wealthy and corporations. Maggie's doing a series with Maggie and the Millionaires every day in the 2 o'clock or in the 3 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage you to listen to her. She's had some great conversations. And also, if you want to go back to the good old days, let's look at what the corporate tax rates were at that time. They certainly weren't 23%.
No, you know, when you talk about the good old days and you talk about the unions the whole trickle, what was called trickle down, was Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
And Ronald Reagan came in and he talked about the trickle down theory of if you take taxes away from the richest amongst us, mm-hmm. they'll be benevolent.
Yes.
And they'll make sure that the people on the lower rung of things will be taken care of. And so I remember that when Ronald Reagan was espousing that, there was another guy who later became president named George Bush Sr., who called that voodoo economics. You should
remember. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so they were able to usher in trickle-down economics, and since then, the struggle has been monumental for far too many Americans.
And you can talk to some, like the millionaire that Maggie had on yesterday, and I think even Mark Cuban now has come out and said, look, if you give companies bigger tax breaks, what they do is buy back their own stock and give even nicer compensation packages to their CEOs.
Well,
and if you don't need more employees, yeah. you're not going to hire them.
When we bailed out the banks in 2008, they didn't take any responsibility. No one went to jail, and they gave their higher-ups the biggest bonuses ever. Like there was no lesson learned. We paid for that, and they reaped the rewards. It's trickle up. I heard someone say once that you're like trickle down is the idea that there's one glass and as it overflows, it fills all the glasses below. And someone said over time, what's happened, the glasses at the top has just gotten bigger and all the ones are broken on the floor because no one's getting it.
Andrew in Maine, leaving a comment on the live stream. Thank you for being in our research department, Andrew. In 1961, income tax on joint filers over $400,000 was 91%. Now it's 35% until you make up to $578,000, and then you get taxed at 37%.
Ooh, how are you going to make it?
Little bit different there. Earl Ingram Jr., thank you so very much for joining us on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys thinking of me. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. News is next when we return. Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.